Welcome to EWTN's Crucial Questions, Catholic Answers. I'm Father Regis Scanlon. I'm a Capuchin Franciscan of the Mid-America Province. I'm from Denver, Colorado. And we are here today to consider the question, was Jesus ignorant of anything? First of all, Rahner, you've heard of him before, I'm sure, these questions. Karl Rahner agreed with the opinion that, quote, there is no conceivable reason to say that Jesus had, quote, infused knowledge as being sentia certa, a Latin phrase meaning unerring knowledge or infallible propositions, unquote. Now, Karl Rahner is a theologian, one of the most important, at least considered one of the most important theologians at the Second Vatican Council, and certainly after the Second Vatican Council, he had more influence than anyone, apparently, on theology. And so he makes this statement, and it is found in his Theological Investigations, Volume 5, pages 212 to 213. Now, notice that he states that there is no reason, not constraining theological reason, he says, to say that Jesus had infallible knowledge. According to Rahner, we do not have, quote, to suppose for this reason that Jesus possessed a permanent, reflex, and fully formed propositional knowledge of everything after the manner of an encyclopedia or of a huge actual completed world history, unquote. He says that on page 214 of the same source, volume 5. It's interesting how Karl Rahner, the way he states that, I don't think he had to state it in that way. He was saying that we don't have to believe that Jesus, his head was an encyclopedia. Well, I would say that if Jesus was infallible, that doesn't mean that his head was an encyclopedia either. So it's kind of a strange way. But Rahner saw nescience, huh? Or, he said, a certain kind of ignorance, unquote, quote, unquote, a certain kind of ignorance, as necessary in Jesus Christ. And he made this statement on page 202 in volume 5 of his Theological Investigations. Now, Father Raymond Brown stated about Mark 13, verse 32, that's where the scriptures state, neither the Son nor the angels know the day nor the hour, unquote. And that he says, Raymond Brown says, quote, one is almost forced to take at face value the admission of Mark 13:32 that Jesus did not know when the parousia would take place, unquote. Now, Raymond Brown says this in his book, Jesus, God and Man, 77. Furthermore, Brown says that, quote, because there is evidence, nay, even a statement that Jesus did not know when the ultimate victory would take place, many Catholic theologians would propose that such knowledge was not an essential of Jesus' mission, unquote. So, Brown implies that Jesus did not know. It's clear that Brown believed that, quote, there are texts in the Gospels that seem to indicate that Jesus shared normal human ignorance about the affairs of life, unquote. Brown makes this statement in his book, Jesus, God, and Man. By the way, that's Milwaukee Bruce Publishing Company, 1967. He makes that statement on page 45. Brown says that the best example from Jesus' public ministry is Mark 5, verses 30 to 33, where Jesus was hemmed in by the crowd and someone touched him. Jesus perceived that power had gone out of him and asks, who touched his garments? Now, this is what Father Brown states about that. He says, quote, the disciples think that this is a foolish question when there has been so much pushing and pulling in the crowd. But the woman comes forward and confesses. The narrative seems clearly to presuppose ignorance on the part of Jesus, unquote. And Brown says this on page 45 of Jesus, God and Man. Now, Father Brown is saying that when Jesus was walking through that crowd, that he turned around and he said, who touched me? He's saying that he actually didn't know. You know, he was actually saying, well, who touched me? Okay. Now, you can see the importance of this question when we talk about whether Jesus was ignorant or anything. Okay, because if Jesus was ignorant of anything, then that leads one to wonder about his other statements that he made. For instance, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, or anger, hatred, or was he wrong about these things? Could he be ignorant about these things? But scripture scholar Reverend William G. Most, he notes something about Brown's suggestion of the ignorance of Christ, and William Most mentions this in his book, The Consciousness of Christ, Christendom College Press, Front Royal, Virginia, 1980, and page 41. And Father Most says this about this statement of Brown saying that Jesus actually didn't know who touched him and wanted to find out. He says, quote, Brown has missed an easy distinction. For Jesus to turn and ask such a question need not imply ignorance at all. It was simply a ploy, familiar to all classroom teachers, of bringing out responses and reactions. Similarly, in Matthew 15:21-28, Jesus acts as though he is refusing the Canaanite woman when he says, quote, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, unquote. He merely wished to elicit from her a more earnest expression of faith, but before granting her request. Again, in Matthew 14:16, he told the disciples, when faced with a crowd of 5,000, to give them something to eat. Actually, it was obvious that such was impossible to give them something to eat. Even to his own mother, he seemed to refuse the request at Cana. Some think the language sounds like a rejection, yet the outcome showed he really granted what she asked. Okay, and that's on page 41 of his book, The Consciousness of Christ. That's a very good point. Jesus was not asking because he did not know. Jesus was asking to elicit a response of faith in some cases, to elicit a response of love, many things. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he did not know. Now, can you imagine, if you would apply Brown's theory about Jesus' knowledge to the question of Peter, about whom Jesus asked the question to Peter in Matthew 16. Remember that one? The scriptures relate the story as follows. It says this in Matthew 16:13-17. It says, when Jesus came to the neighborhood of Caesarea at Philippi, he asked his disciples this question, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptizer, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And you, he said to them, who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah, Simon Peter answered, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. No mere man has revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. But you know, friends, if Jesus really did not know who he was, or if he was asking these questions, like the one he asked at Peter, because he really didn't know, as Father Brown suggests with regards to the woman in the crowd, he would have responded to Peter by saying, I don't think he would have said what he said. Here he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. No mere man has revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. But if Brown's theory is correct, if Jesus was really asking this question of Peter, who do people say that I am? Because he really didn't know who he was, I don't think he would have said what he said. He would have said something like this. When Peter said, you are a son of the living God, Jesus would have said something like, gee, Peter, are you certain about that? My goodness, I'm God? That's tremendous. You know. And of course, that's ridiculous. Also, if Jesus did not know who he was, but Simon Peter did know who he was, this would make Peter smarter than God himself. Isn't that interesting? I don't think that many people are going to accept Father Brown's theory that Jesus asked these questions because he did not know the answer to them. Now, Hans Urs von Balthasar says about comments on Jesus' knowledge and what he knew and did not know while he was visible on earth. And Hans Urs von Balthasar, and you'll find this in his book, You Crown the Year with Goodness, Ignatius Press, San Francisco, 1989, page 318 and 319. He makes this statement about Jesus. He says, third, however, he is strictly ignorant of the hour, but of that day or that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. This is crucially important. We must take it absolutely literally. Jesus knows that whatever happens, the hour will come. My hour has not yet come. But he leaves it entirely to the Father. Now, we cannot mistake this. Balthasar, Hans Elisabeth Balthasar, says third, however, he is strictly ignorant of the hour. He's saying that Jesus did not know the hour. Again, Balthasar says about Jesus that, quote, he knows just as much and just as little as is necessary so that he can carry out his unique, all-embracing mission of world atonement, unquote. And he says that on the, again in 318 to 319, if you cry on the year with your goodness. Now, but is not the Son of God is omniscient, and we know that. So how does Hans-Urs von Balthasar deal with that? Again, Balthasar says this, quote, he admits this question and he asks it, quote, but is not the Son of God also God? As such, is he not omniscient? Yes, but that does not mean that he wished to share all his divine attributes with his human nature. Here, doubtless, there are mysteries we shall never fully penetrate. But one thing we can say, just as the Son, as God, eternally receives full divinity and hence full omniscience from his Father, so he eternally gives himself all that he has and is back to the Father in gratitude. It is at his Father's disposal. Thus, in some way, we can understand that when the Son's eternal procession from the Father takes the shape of a mission to the world, the Son deposits his divine attributes without losing them with the Father in heaven. For we read that he emptied himself of his divine form, Philippians 2:27, precisely so that he could be humanly obedient unto death. Now, do we understand what Hans-Urs von Balthasar is saying by this statement? When he says the Son, he's talking about the Son of God, his divine nature. The Son deposits his divine attributes, that's like omniscience, all-knowingness, without losing him, with the Father in heaven. Do you understand what he's saying there? For Balthasar, when the Son of God emptied himself, he emptied himself of his divine attributes. And one of these divine attributes, which he shed when he came to earth on mission, was his omniscience, his all-knowingness. But how can the Son of God give up his divine knowledge without losing it, as he says? It appears that when the Son of God descended into the womb of Our Lady, according to von Balthasar, he came down with a case of divine amnesia. For Balthasar, Jesus was ignorant of his final coming, but an ignorant God, or an amnestic God, is far more illogical and difficult to accept than an omniscient God. Now, what's the magisterium say about these theories of these theologians? What does the magisterium say about whether Jesus knew or did not know he was God? The theory that there was ignorance in Jesus Christ, by the way, is an ancient theory. During the first few centuries of Christianity, the church had to condemn the teachings of Arius and the teaching of Nestorius. Arius did hold that Jesus was only one person, but he held that this person was a creature. Consequently, for Arius, Jesus did not know anything beyond what creatures know. Nestorius, on the other hand, held that there were two persons in Christ, one divine and one human. The divine person knew all things, and the human person knew only what creatures know and what the divine person communicated to him. So the human person of Christ, according to Arius and Nestorius, did and was truly ignorant. Now, one of the theories which the church rejected in the first couple of centuries was the statement in Mark 13:32, neither the Son nor the angels know the day or the hour of the last judgment. This indicated that Christ was ignorant. The church condemned that. Obviously, if this were true, if Christ was really ignorant, if the quotation from Mark 13:32, quote, neither the Son nor the angels know the day and the hour, unquote, of the last judgment, If that was, if that really meant, if that indicated that Christ was truly ignorant, one would have a hard time explaining how Jesus could describe the events of his final coming in Matthew 24, verses 15 to 42. As the 4th century deacon and doctor of the church, St. Ephraim, stated, quote, "He described the signs of his coming. How could what he has himself decided be hidden from him?" Unquote. And by the way, you'll find that in St. Ephraim, from a commentary on the Destarium of St. Ephraim, deacon, in the Liturgy of the Hours, according to the Roman Rite, Volume 1, Catholic Book Publishing Company, New York, page 177. St. Ephraim pointed out that the first reason why our Lord did not make the time of his final coming plain was, quote, "so all generations and ages await him eagerly," unquote, and, quote, "think that he would come again in their own day," unquote. That's also on page 177 of that same source. What St. Ephraim is saying here, he's saying that our Lord Jesus Christ deliberately did not make this known to people, but he still knew. He says, secondly, Ephraim stated that, quote, "he had not made it plain for this reason, especially, that no one may think that he whose power and dominion rule all numbers and times is ruled by fate and time," unquote. It's also from 177 of that same source. So, thus the opinion that there was ignorance in Jesus Christ was condemned during the 4th century Arian heresy by the church fathers, like St. Ephraim and St. Ambrose and so forth. And their point was this, that Jesus knew all right. It's just that he decided it wasn't good for them to know. So he says that it is not given to the Son of Man to know. In other words, he knew this from his divine nature, but what he knew was from his divine nature, not from his human nature. And so in that sense, it wasn't given to the Son of Man to know, even though the Son of God knows. Although they were the same person, but he had this knowledge from a different source. Now, let's see if we can find out what the Magisterium says about this. Well, it was condemned. The theory that Jesus was ignorant was condemned by Pope Vigilius on May 14th, the year 553, when the Pope taught that, quote, "if anyone says that the one Jesus Christ, true Son of God and true Son of Man, was ignorant of future things, or of the day of the last judgment, and says he could only know as much as his divinity dwelling in him as in another made known to him, let him be anathema," cut off from the church. You will find this quoted, you'll find it in the Denzinger, number 419 of the 29th edition. The Denzinger is the compilation made by Henry Denzinger of the teachings of the church, 29th edition, number 419. It's also translated into English by William Most in The Consciousness of Christ, Chrysostom College Press, I mentioned it earlier, Front Royal, Virginia, 1980, page 137. Now, and is this the same teaching, the same suggestion that that Christ was ignorant, the same condemnation of the suggestion as Vigilius had done, was also refuted most clearly by 7th century Pope St. Gregory I, the Great, when he responded to the Agnate, who also held that Mark 13:32, "neither the Son nor the angels know the day or the hour," indicated that Christ was ignorant. Gregory taught that Christ knew by means of two natures, and what he did not know from his human nature, he knew from his divine nature. You'll find that in the Denzinger 30th edition, number 248. Thus, Gregory taught that while Christ knew, quote, "the day and the hour of judgment," in his human nature, he knew this from his divine nature and not from his human nature. Gregory says this, quote, "therefore, that which in nature itself he knew, he did not know from that very nature." He says this in number 248 of the Denzinger. So Christ knew all things in his human nature. Denzinger 248 again. That's the 30th edition. Now, the Pope therefore concludes this, quote, "so the omnipotent Son says he does not know the day which he causes not to be known, not because he himself is ignorant of it, but because he does not permit it to be known at all, unquote. And you'll find that again in number 248 of the Denzinger. Then the Pope Gregory, this is Gregory the First still, great, he makes this statement, and I want you to listen to this, and he talks about how ridiculous the claim is that Jesus did not know the day or the hour, or did not know anything. He says this, quote, "For with what purpose can he, who confesses that the wisdom itself of God is incarnate, say that there is anything which the wisdom of God did not know? It is written, quote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him," John 1:13. "If all, without doubt also the day of judgment and the hour. Who therefore is so foolish as to presume to assert that the Word of the Father made that which he does not know? It is written also," quote, "Jesus, knowing that the Father gave him all things into his hand," John 13:3, unquote. "If all things, surely both the day of judgment and the hour. Who therefore is so stupid as to say that the Son has received in his hand that of which he is unaware?" Unquote. You'll find that in 248 also of the Denzinger 30th edition. The really important point, and a beautifully set out by Pope Gregory the First, that if all things are made through Jesus, he was the Word, he was in the beginning, all things are made for him, from through him, in him, with him, and for him, and through him. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning and the end. He knows when the day of judgment, the hour, is coming. Obviously, that's our faith. And so we have to hold that he knows all things just as much as his Father knows. Again, we must remember this, that there is only one person in Christ, and this person is a divine person. We say that the divine person, Jesus Christ, knows by means of his natures, but we do not say that his nature is another person. Okay? While there are two ways of knowing, there is only one ego, one I who knows. Thus, whatever we say about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we say about the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Now, if anyone says that there is ignorance and contradiction in Christ, he is saying that there is ignorance and contradiction in God. But the First Vatican Council says quite clearly about God, quote, "For all things are naked and open to his eyes," Hebrew 4:13, "even those which by the free action of creatures are in the future," unquote. And this is found in Denzinger 1784, 30th edition. Thus, Jesus Christ had infinite knowledge of his divine person. From his divine person, he had infinite knowledge. And even in his human soul, he had most perfectly infused knowledge from divine grace in the beatific vision, which Pius XII says, quote, "He began to enjoy when he had hardly been conceived in the womb of his mother." And you'll find that stated in the Denzinger, number 2289, and that's the 30th edition also. This is why St. Thomas Aquinas says about Christ's knowledge through his human soul, quote, "He knew as much as the natural knowledge of the soul can reach, not only in this life, but after death." And you'll find that in Aquinas' De Veritate, Volume 2, Question 20, Article 6, Reply. Now, it is true that Jesus Christ could experience sufferings in his human nature as something new to his person, which he has never experienced. And no one should deny that Christ had, quote, "sense perception and derived corresponding knowledge from such experience." In other words, experiential knowledge. Once more, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, could conceal some property manifested of his person, like the manifestation of his glory or the immensity of his majesty, as is meant by Philippians 2:7. He emptied himself. And this would account for a lack of consolation flowing to his human nature, even though he had the beatific vision. But he could not give up something intrinsic to his person or his divine being. And God's knowledge, his self-knowledge, is intrinsic to his divine being. For St. Thomas Aquinas says, quote, "God understands himself through himself. And he says about God that the act of God's intellect is his substance, and his act of understanding must be his essence and his existence." You'll find this in Aquinas' Summa Theologica 1a, question 14, article 4. So it's not surprising, brothers and sisters, that Pius X condemned any statement that denies the infallible knowledge of Jesus Christ, or any statement that denies that Jesus had knowledge circumscribed by no limit. And that is in the Denzinger's 20, 32, 20, 34, and 20, 65a, and that is in the 30th edition. Nor is it surprising that Benedict XV said that the church, under Benedict XV, the church taught that, quote, Christ was ignorant of nothing, but from the beginning knew all things in word, past, present, and future, or all things that God knows by the knowledge of vision, unquote. Denzinger 21:84, 22:89, and that is also the 30th edition. My brothers and sisters, Jesus knew all things. He was not ignorant. Thank you very much for being here today, and I invite you to join us next time when we will consider the question, will everyone go to heaven? God bless you.